The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shotgun. Here's the snap. Hand off. No, it's a keeper for Allen. Through the left side. 10, 5, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. The beast has been released. A 13-yard touchdown run by Allen.
Once again, Chris Brown on the call on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Bills with a 30-20 win over the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. Welcome back to hour number two. The final hour of today's Nortown Automotive Buffalo Football Victory Monday Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. As always, our Buffalo Football Victory Monday and every other Buffalo Football Monday Extra Point Show is brought to you by Catholic Health, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Hey, let's get to our Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Really only one significant injury to talk about heading into this week from yesterday. That would be Dalton Kincaid, because he did not finish the game. He was doubtful to return. He was originally questionable to return with a knee injury. Then he had a brace on his knee, went back into the game. Then he came back out of the game, and he didn't play, and he was doubtful and never returned to the game. After the game, he said in the locker room that he tried to give it a go, just didn't quite feel right, and he felt he couldn't protect himself. So you totally understand that. Gave more snaps to Dawson Knox, who had a very nice game yesterday. But you hope Dalton Kincaid's ready and available to play against the Kansas City Chiefs. That will be one to monitor throughout this week with Dalton Kincaid and a knee injury. Spencer Brown did have an ankle tape job going on. He twisted his ankle a little bit, went back into the game. He missed a few plays. He wound up going back in the game, so hopefully nothing there. But I'm sure these are guys that maybe the Bills will take a look at this week to see. You know, on Wednesdays now, like last week it was a walkthrough. Maybe that'll be the same this week. It's getting to a long season. They haven't had their bye. That could be the same again this week. We'll see about that. And, of course, the big injuries we're going to be really monitoring this week are the ones to the wide receivers who didn't play yesterday. That is Amari Cooper. That is Keon Coleman. Today, we'll get an update from Sean McDermott a little bit later today on his normal Monday Zoom call. And then if he has any information on that, we'll see where that goes. Usually we don't get too much on Monday. And then Wednesday, obviously, a little bit more of an update as the Bills get ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. And then that's their last game before the bye. So you wonder if that factors into anything that happens here. And even I'll even throw this out there. At some point here, I think we're going to probably hear about Matt Milano getting his having his window open for practice. Now, with next week being a bye week and less practice, you wonder if they would do that because he wouldn't have as much time on the field. So I wonder if that happens after the bye week, but we'll see. But I think it is something that we have to be aware of here that could wind up happening and putting it on your radar right there. All right. Hopefully you're watching here on the WGR Facebook page. Check it out. It is facebook.com/WGR550. And once again, I'll show everybody. I have my am wearing the Buffalo Victory Monday shirt. There we go. We got it on because that's what it is today. It's a Buffalo Victory Monday, 30-20 over the Indianapolis Colts. I am live here at KeyBank Center because we have a Sabres game going on today on WGR and along the Sabres radio network. Sabres taking on the Montreal Canadiens here today. Sabres are hot. They've won three in a row. Really nice win. They a game that they had in hand against the Calgary Flames, had a 2-0 lead, give up the 2-0 lead, have to hold on, excuse me, to get to overtime. And then in overtime, a couple chances each way, they wound up going to a shootout. Sabres get the 2 points. You don't worry about getting to overtime with a Western Conference team giving up the extra point, but you still want to close that game out. It's so funny. I thought yesterday a lot during the Bills game how much it reminded me of the Sabres game. You got to grind out a win. You have a lead, you give it up, you still have to come back, you grind out the win, and that's exactly what the Sabres did against the Calgary Flames. So now, real quickly here, they take on a Montreal Canadiens team, which is below them in the standings with only 10 points. They're 4-9-2. Sabres sit at 7-7-1, 15 points, a chance to jump the Boston Bruins today in the standings if they were to win today and get to 8-7-1. That would be nice. All right, we have that game coming up for you at 12:30. We have this show up until 12 o'clock, and then it's Sabres pregame with Brian Koziol. Let's get to Josh in Williamsville. Hi, Josh. Thanks for holding. You're in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So just two things real quick. First off, you just kind of mentioned it, Sabres three-game winning streak. I just wanted to say it's a good day to enjoy being a Buffalo sports fan.
Yeah.
Bills are 8-2. Sabres are playing today on that three-game win streak. And then not to forget, our UB Bulls play tomorrow with a chance to become bowl eligible.
Hey, thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate that. Thank you. And, of course, you can always hear those games on the Bet 1520 because it's been a nice season for Pete Lembo and the UB Bulls for sure.
Absolutely. And then real quick, I just want to kind of go back to Curtis Samuel. I kind of liked how they did get him involved pretty early on. It almost seemed like, you know, they kind of heard that criticism and let's get him involved pretty early. But then it did seem like he definitely slowed down. From what you were able to see, do you think that was them kind of more focusing on him, or was he just not making the plays? That was just kind of my question. And then I'm going to the game this weekend. Super excited. Haven't been to a Bills game in 9 years, so really looking forward to it. Thanks, Dale.
Yeah, you got it. I'm Curtis Samuel. I thought what happened was, Josh, the Bills did a nice job to have designed plays for him early in the game. Very intentional to get him involved in the game. As the game flow starts to go on, you don't get as much of that as you do those scripted plays early, and that's when it becomes, okay, Josh is looking for somebody. There's Curtis Samuel. What? It didn't quite work out. I don't know why that hasn't meshed the way it has. Maybe that gets him jump-started, having those few catches under his belt from yesterday. But as the game goes on, you're not getting those intentional plays to him, those design plays to him, those scripted plays to him. I thought that was very, very helpful for Curtis Samuel and Josh Allen. And look, he was available on one play where Josh skipped it, right? It was Josh rolling out to his left, threw the ball. Maybe if he can set his feet a little bit better, he gets it to Curtis Samuel. So hopefully that helps him going forward. They're going to need him because right now they're really banged up at wide receiver, as you know. Thanks for the call, Josh. We'll get to Brian in Arcade next up. Hi, Brian. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. So I think that caller a couple times ago, I think he brought up a good point. And it's not so much Samuel and MVS versus who you could have had, I guess, yeah, on the roster. To me, it's the Bills' organizational philosophy to only keep five wide receivers that continues to bite them. This has happened 2 or 3 years in a row. And when you're bringing in older street free agents, Jamison Crowder, Deontay Hardy, Trent Sherfield, yeah, they're going to struggle to stay healthy. If that's rounding out your receiver core and you have one injury, those guys got to play. And if they get healthy, now you're back to practice squatter. So effectively, the Bills have traded Jalen Virgil for MVS. Whatever you think of MVS, he's had a better career than Jalen Virgil is ever going to have. So to me, organizationally, the Bills didn't come out ahead here. Bean didn't, it doesn't seem, especially if you give in the fact that MVS had a guaranteed contract. You're not saving money. So they put themselves in this razor-thin position continuously. This has happened numerous years in a row. And what it tells me, basically, it beats down the horse that we've all talked about forever. They've got to invest more in the position. They've got to get younger. They've got to get faster. And they've got to develop from within because you're bringing in Curtis Samuel. You're bringing in Deontay Hardy, Sherfield. We can all go through Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie off of waivers. These guys kind of float around in these nebulous roles, catching little plays out of the backfield. There's no chemistry to MVS. I mean, they did it again this year. Cephas out of training camp. They couldn't get Claypool on the active roster because he got hurt. Well, none of those guys at the end of the roster can help you, and now you're into practice squatter. So to me, it's a choice that the Bills continuously and actively make when you go through year by year being 2018 through 2024. Where does he draft wide receivers? Coleman's the highest. Then it's Gabe Davis, and then it's all fifth, sixth, seventh rounders. Austin Prohl. I mean, you can go through the record. They don't invest in the position, and this is what you get.
Okay, so let me. I think it's a great
receivers that can't help you.
So I think it's a great debate and discussion and talking point, and I think you bring up some good points. I will point out. So I just looked as you were talking. Do you know how many receivers the Chiefs have on their active roster?
Yeah, four or five.
They have five?
Got hurt.
They have five. Do you know how many the Eagles have?
They have five. Two superstars.
They have five, and so I get it. So the issue is this. I think the organization...
And traded for Doxon.
Hold on, but they still have five. Right? So you, because you said the numbers. You're talking about the numbers.
The Chiefs have six on opening day.
Right. Okay, I get it. But they only have five now because of injuries, and that's obviously where the Bills are. But here's the issue. And you're not wrong. I get it. Like, it's a great debate.
Okay.
The issue is, if you're going to be a bottom-end receiver, they have no problem. They've kept six in the past, but that six has to help on special teams, and maybe that would be where your issue would come in, where because the Bills can choose to say, well, we're going to keep an extra DB or an extra linebacker. They're heavy at linebacker this year a little bit because I think that those guys, they feel because of the new kickoff rules, are a little bit help more, you know, they help on special teams. I do think you make a great point about the investment in the position in the draft, drafting them higher. But let's remember, they drafted Keon Coleman with the first pick of the second round. It was their first pick last year. They drafted Dalton Kincaid as a pass catcher the year before. So I do think they've made a little bit more investment in that regard. They do have an organizational philosophy, though, of not paying these guys super high money because when you're paying your quarterback and other people around your roster, it gets a little bit more challenging, you know? So I don't know. It's a tough balance. I don't know. I get it. I get what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with you necessarily. I just think it's a tough balance, and there's a lot of ways to go about it. And other teams do this too, or are very successful.
Yeah, it's balanced, but it's also the other thing it points to is across multiple coordinators, the Bills don't develop these small, fast guys. So when you get to Samuel as well, like he got thrown in a bucket to me, like Nyheim Hines did. You traded for Nyheim Hines. He got 11 touches, total touches, after the Bills traded for him. He fell into a nothing role. Samuel's in a nothing role. And if fans looked, I mean, look at his yards per target across multiple coordinators, different teams. It just keeps going down. His ADOT has gone down every single year in his career. This is how NFL coordinators see how to use him now. Well, he's really only a gadget guy. If he was more effective, he would be on the field.
Yeah, but I wonder if this is more about Samuel, though, because I wonder if this is more about Samuel, though, because Joe Brady used him effectively in 2020 in his best year as a pro. For some reason, that's not translating. I get that you're going to have a little bit of a different, you know, philosophy with Josh Allen at quarterback and a different team now and under the head coach's direction, whatever, however you want to say that. But I just wonder if it's more about Samuel. That's what I scratch my head about this, because this coordinator was in charge when he had his best year as in his career.
Yeah, but he was four. You know, that was 4 or 5 years ago. He was younger. He's 28 now.
Yeah, he's still young.
He's not as scary as he used to be. He's always been kind of a hybrid running back wide receiver. He's harder to get the ball to. You have to scheme him open. And if he's not going to get priority, he's not going to get priority over Coleman. He's not going to get priority over Cooper now. Even Matt Collins, you can keep on the field because he blocks. He's just, to me, he gets afterthought
I do think one thing. Yeah, one thing I'll tell you is I think they developed Khalil Shakir pretty well.
Yeah, but he could play right away. This is my thing with Khalil Shakir. Yes, you and the WGR, you talk about this like, oh, he's earned his role. No, he was good right away. Late game Ravens as a rookie, he caught two huge balls in that game. He caught a touchdown against the Steelers. He just had no opportunity because Gabe Davis had to be on the field the whole time. He had to play behind Crowder. He was good right away. I am convinced that if you would put him ahead of McKenzie and Crowder right away, Khalil Shakir would be the same type player.
Well, you can be convinced of that, but you have to give a little credit for developing him to this too. You can be convinced of that, and that's fine, but you still have to give credit to developing if you're not going to give credit to the other ones.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Being developed.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Right? Am I right? I'm just trying to have a discussion, right? I mean,
he's a fifth-round pick, but he was good. Right. He actually had pedigree in college. He's not Justin Shorter, who was a flame out of high school. Yeah,
right, well,
he drafted him in the same round, but to play special teams. But, yeah, he can't actually help you. He has hips as tight as a bear vise. So it's not the same thing.
Clearly, all right, I'm not trying to upset you. I just think you have to look at it both ways. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? All right, have a good day. Thank you. Appreciate it. Here on the North Tunnel, I'm just trying to work through the discussion. I don't know. He's getting upset about it for whatever. I mean, you're right. I agree with you. They have not made the investment, but don't tell me they haven't developed anybody, and then Khalil Shakir comes on the scene his third year, and he's having the year he's having, and then not give him credit for developing because he did. But you're right. The organizational philosophy, 100% right about that, Brian, that you can – if you want to push back and say – the organizational philosophy is not right where it is with wide receivers. I'm totally open to that with, hey, they're in a situation now where they painted themselves in this corner. 100% agree with you, buddy. I do. But I also want to give credit to, hey, they've done a good job with Khalil Shakir. And, yeah, maybe he was ready to play. Maybe. I mean, he didn't play much as early on because he didn't have opportunity. I get that. No doubt about it. I'm also not convinced he would be great if he played. But, so either way. However you want to look at it. It's fine. I don't know. You're getting upset there. You don't have to. It's a Buffalo Victory Football Monday, buddy. And the Bills won. And the Sabres are playing today on a 3-game winning streak. Let's go to Michael in Atlanta. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Sal. Great to talk to you again. Yes.
You got it.
Let's celebrate the victory.
It's all good. It's all good. I mean, like I said, I just I wasn't trying to get anybody upset, but he was upset, so it's okay.
Oh, no, I get it. But three things real quick, if I could. And one of them, we're talking about players and player development. I mean, kudos to the Bills and Sean McDermott and the whole staff with the next man up, not just with the receiving core. And, we saw Hollins has had they've asked more of him the last couple of weeks. He performed, he's ready. But also, I was pretty impressed yesterday when Spencer Brown went out, and I forgot who it was, Vandermark.
Ryan Vandermark. He had a great block on Khalil Shakir's screen.
I mean, comes right in off the bench, ready to go. So let's look at that side of it. If every team did everything perfectly, you have undefeated teams every year. There'd be a couple, and there's not, because there's it's a little give and take. But they have their players prepared. Number one, number two, want to talk about Josh Allen. A couple picks yesterday, a week before. Do you think that some of this has to do with the change in personnel? Does that affect some of the chemistry?
Oh, for sure. Yesterday, Josh got to the stadium a little bit earlier than normal. A lot of the media noted that he was on one of the earlier buses that get there because the players take different buses. And I don't know for sure. I think that this might have been him wanting to get on the field a little bit earlier with these guys and working, because when you have changes like that, you definitely want to make sure. And it does impact it, especially as you go throughout the week and you're not sure who's going to be available, who's not. And these guys are working through injuries. There's no doubt about that, Michael.
That's the only common denominator that I see. All of a sudden he's thrown some picks where he wasn't early on. It's, when he had his whole receiving core intact. So, yeah, that's good. That's good to know. Then hopefully we'll get everyone back and a little bit more continuity. And the last thing was, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I did talk to you about it last week, and I got to bring it up again. I still think there's got to be some kind of a overall review board when there are such blatant missed penalties. I can go all the way back to last year of Philadelphia when Josh Allen gets horse-collared, throws the ball as he's getting horse-collared, and he gets the penalty thrown on him for intentional grounding. I mean, his shoulder pads are coming out of his jersey, and right in front of the official, no flag. And yesterday, right, I'm sure you saw it or heard about it, when he ran for that first down, he had a defensive lineman punching him in the side of the head.
Yeah.
There's got to be something done about that, Sal. I know sometimes there's every touchdown's reviewed or what. I'm not saying you can't review every single play, but when something is so blatant and there's an officiating committee or watching this game, something has to be done, because my gosh, that was completely ridiculous that there wasn't a flag thrown on that play. And when Josh slid and then he was hit late, I'm sure you remember that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about that stuff this morning because it certainly mattered yesterday. It could have mattered yesterday to Josh Allen's health, and they didn't throw the flags on any. I thought you getting ridden out of bounds on the touchdown, getting punched, getting hit late, for sure. And you're supposed to be protecting these quarterbacks, and we didn't see that.
Yeah, there's got to be some next level so this doesn't continually happen, because, again, it's going to You know, it's like there's no deterrent at times. You know,
you
flag that guy or throw. I actually would, if I was an official, for throwing punches like that in the side of the head, I would have thrown him out. Thrown him out of the game.
All right, listen, Mike, I got to go. I got some more calls I got to get to real quickly here because I want to do that. Let's go to Patty in North Tonawanda. Hi, Patty. You're on the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show.
Good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. I'm the Bills Mafia sister and friends with Lorenzo. We've met several times.
Hi, Patty.
I'm driving back with my sister. Hi. I'm driving back with my sister from Indianapolis. We stopped in Erie overnight. It's about almost 2 in the morning when we got in. So I just wanted to say that a couple things really quickly. Shout out to the Colts fans. I actually went to the game by myself. I had my a single seat, and I sat next to some Colts fans. But you know what? Shout out to the Bills Mafia, too. The fans got along. Everybody was just so cordial with each other. It was wonderful to see that fans, yes, were AFC divisional, or not divisional, but were rivals in the AFC, and yet we can still all get along. And so many Colts fans said, we are rooting for you to beat the Chiefs. We are on your side. You can count on us. And it was a really great feeling. But wonderful shout out to the Bills Mafia. I was in Seattle 2 weeks ago. That was an incredible takeover, and I expect nothing less, you know, moving forward with future road games. I also want to give a shout out to Jordan Phillips and his return. What he was doing to fire up the crowd was just incredible. And sure, maybe he's not, you know, the number one best player, but he certainly brings the energy, and I saw it on the bench. You were closer than I was, of course, but he really brought back the energy that he did when he was here before, and I'm excited to see what he's going to bring against the Chiefs.
Thanks a lot,
one last
Patty.
Question for,
yeah, go
one
ahead.
Question
yeah, yeah.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you know who the referee staff is going to be for this game coming up? In a better not
Hockley? I don't have that yet. I'll have that probably tomorrow afternoon.
All right, because if it's Hockley's team, we're in trouble.
All right. I was
That's
thinking about
all
that
I'm
today,
say about it.
I was thinking about that today. Thanks, Patty. I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll check on that. I was going to run through the league, but you know what? We got some more phone calls lined up, so let's get to a couple more of them real quickly here before we head to the bottom of the hour. Let's go to Jeff in Hamburg. Hi, Jeff. You're on WGR.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, just wanted to talk about this game coming up here with Kansas City. I don't see why... I don't want us going full out in this because this is a game, as far as I'm concerned, really doesn't matter. The only game that matters with Kansas City is the playoffs, and I'd hate to see us putting out too much effort and getting our players injured. What do you think about that?
I think that's – I completely disagree. You don't – you're just going to wave the white flag to not get guys injured against the against Kansas City Chiefs?
No, I'm not saying to throw out the white flag. I mean, I'd still like to – to see them beat it. I just don't want to see where
well, it's a game. It's a game. You go out there and you play it. I mean, that's that. No, I mean, you go out there and you play it. Of course, you want to get through every game without injuries, but if you could say, hey, if you lose to the Chiefs, there's no shame in that. You still have a great lead in the division. I understand that for sure, Jeff. I mean, yeah. It's not like super critical. Although if you beat them, you could have still a chance to get the one seed. That would matter. I understand that. But you play this game to win the game like you do every other game.
Well, correct. I'm not going to argue. I'm not arguing that point at all. My only point that I've got is just don't go out and put the rest of our season at risk for just.
You mean yeah? You mean like the guys? Some guys who are banged up.
You got bragging rights for it, you know?
Yeah, if you're saying like guys that are banged up, maybe give them an extra week because of the bye week. I mean, you might want to err on the side of caution. I understand that, but sorry, I misinterpreted what you were saying when you first called it. Maybe they should just like, hey, don't get Josh hurt. Don't put him out there or something like that. So I got you, buddy.
No, you can't. You got to have all these players play. Like you said, if they're a little bit hurt or banged up or anything, I mean, you don't need to be forcing them out there. Give them the extra week or the extra 2 weeks in order to come out so we can keep our season going. And as far as the number one seed, it proved the other was it last year or the year before? I forgot. We had Kansas City here in our stadium for the playoffs, and we lost to them.
Yeah, well, no doubt. But, hey, look, I mean – you still would rather play home than away, right, in the playoffs, wouldn't you? Right, no matter what?
Absolutely.
So seeding still matters in that regard. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Real quickly, Brad in Orchard Park. Let's get to you, and we'll wrap up the half hour here. Go ahead, Brad. Oh, Brad dropped. All right. You know what? We're going to take a timeout then. We'll come back. All right, the gates have opened here at KeyBank Center because I see a lot of Canadians red in the arena already. That's what happens here to Montreal on a holiday weekend here in the States. Montreal fans, Canadian fans coming in, Sabres fans filing in as well. We are down here at KeyBank Center. We have a half hour left of the Extra Point Show, and then we're going to hand it off to Brian Cozio and the Sabres Radio Network. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday.
Back to pass. Has to roll away from pressure again. Rolling out to his right. Throws as he's got Mac Hollins at the 32-yard line complete. And he alertly runs out of bounds with 8 seconds left.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.